Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh,
potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola, fruit bar. Yeah.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, very good friend, hilarious comedian. He has numerous hour specials, including his last one, The Mad King. He is the host of Idiot Test on Game Show Network and the podcast Last Week on Earth with Ben Glebe. He's a news anchor on the Young Turks Network. Please welcome Ben Glebe.
Thank you, Dan. Good to see you and hear you.
I'm sure I left out like 10 things because you're one of those guys who's always doing a million things and you're probably fuming with rage now that I didn't mention that you have a line of thank you cards that you're selling now or some shit.
My thank you cards are very popular. You will not be getting one for that intro. The only correction to make, though, is Idiot Test is now on Game Show Central, which is like on Pluto TV and Philo TV and all these things. So you can actually still see it there and no longer on Game Show Network or Netflix. So, you know, whatever. I think you should send me an apology card.
Are you going to start selling those? Is this how you come up with your idea for apology cards?
Yeah, this is the moment. I will give you 10% as long as you send me a heartfelt one to kick off the business.
Hey, man, we used to have the same manager. We can... give him one last piece of business. All right, where I'm going to share the screen. You guys can see Ben's fridge at my Instagram, at StandUpDan. I will say, Benjamin, for a single man, this might be one of the better single man fridges that we've had on Green Eggs and Dan.
Wow. Wow, I'm honored to hear that. Thank you very much. I will also say, in not in my defense, this is about as stocked as it ever is.
You know what? I like the humility. You're adding humility. That's going to get you some extra points too.
Thank you.
But there are some things in here that I'm like, oh, this guy like knows his stuff. I'll get into it.
Good.
Let's just go. Let's go top to bottom. Okay, top. We've got. Coconut water is right in the middle, is staring us in the face over here.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by a bunch of cans that are stacked, one, two, on top of each other. These all look like things that you like are sponsored by. Nixie? What the hell is Nixie?
Oh, I wish that was true. No, I wish. It's just a sparkling flavored soda water that I get. Sparkling water that I get at Whole Foods, and two flavors I always get, the best ones are strawberry hibiscus, and the peach black tea has caffeine in it, so it's like a quick pick-me-up on the go, and flavored sparkling soda water is what got me off of soda and enables me to live with flavor in my life without adding pounds onto my system.
Now, you say hibiscus.
Yeah.
When did that happen in your life? Did you have to pass like a certain amount of followers on Instagram to be able to call it hibiscus? Like, was it when you got a blue check mark before you had to pay for them? like when you got yours, that you it said, oh, also it's not hibiscus anymore. You can call it hibiscus. Is that, does that happen? I'm still waiting for that email.
Hibiscus for sure is a word that I didn't really know about until I saw this item on the shelves. I was more of a hibiscus guy. You know what I'm saying?
But you wouldn't pronounce it hibiscus? Hibiscus.
No, I'm not crazy, and I'm not angry at the world.
Wow.
You would say hibiscus?
Wow. Yeah, hibiscus. Hibiscus is a very highfalutin way, I believe. I bet you British people pronounce it hibiscus.
Hibiscus. No, I bet they would probably say hibiscus. Do you like some hibiscus in your sparkling water?
Oh, and just a hint of hibiscus.
A little touch, a sprinkle of hibiscus next to your coconut water.
Then you have a couple beers. You got your Heineken, your Tecate, and then you have these also very fun that look like it's like a sponsor, Madre Desert Water.
Madre Desert Water. They're mezcal drinks, but like healthy mezcal drinks. They're like 80 calories each, I think. And like the one on top there, it's like with mushroom and sage mixed with mezcal. And the other one on the bottom, it's like grapefruit and yerba mate or something. And they're pretty good. I just got a bunch of cases of them from Burning Man, basically, because I was the first comedian to ever headline Burning Man this last burn. And the camp I did it for, Pineapple Express, Pineapple Express is a movie and a strain of weed. Pineapple Motel asked me if I could store it in my house because they were picking up my e-bike for me. They could store a bunch of these tequila drinks that they were sponsored by before we brought it up. And they were like, feel free and keep a case. So I kept, you know, one or three cases of it. And I just have tons of it in my house. I don't drink it often, but it is pretty good. So I kind of stole it more than they sponsor me.
There's so much to unpack there. So much. You just threw like 20 things at me and just kept rolling over. First of all, performing at Burning Man, doing stand-up at Burning Man sounds like a nightmare. Or was it great?
It was not the easiest gig. A, I wasn't sober during the performance. I felt like I should be on the level of everybody else in the audience.
Wait, what drug? What drug were you on? Like all the drugs?
I think just some weed. Let's just say weed and whatever else was in my system. You know what I mean? A little weed, a little alcohol. That's about it, really. And it was not the easiest show. It was really fun. It still went really well. It was like 1,000 people surrounding me, and there were 7 art cars in a circle behind them. And I was in the middle in the round on a Persian rug, and it was really surreal, very, very cool. But the thing I did wrong in that first set was I was making fun of people's outfits and their playa names. But at Burning Man, like, everyone's opting into being kind of ridiculous and very extreme, so it's hard to make fun of like very conscious choices. It's better to make fun of things people think they're doing to be normal and cool, and then you point out how it's falling short. So it wasn't as good as normally crowd work goes for me. But then I did a second show after the great flood of 2023, and that second show went way better because I figured out just to stick to like asking people about their default world personas.
Wait, that is so funny. So it's like Burning Man is this world of like non-cynical kind of free expression, artistic, expose or whatever you want to call it. And you get up there and you're like, look at this guy in his fucking dumb hat.
Yes, 100%. I mean, worse. I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. Think you're trying a little too hard with your cape there? And he's like, I'm literally in the freest place I've ever been in my life. And thanks. It was not the most ideal setting for aggressive crowd work, that's for sure. But it worked. It worked.
That is amazing. Second row in the fridge is your, I'm going to call it the ode to the pickle. A lot of pickled stuff here. We have pickled cucumbers. We have pickled olives. We have something called Mother's Pucker, which is probably another pickled cucumber situation. A lot of good fermented foods here.
Yeah, thank you for noticing.
And while the top row has the 365 Whole Foods brand organic coconut water, on the lower level, you put the Kirkland signature organic coconut water.
That's correct. Yeah, I like a Costco knockoff brand to be on a lower tier just so it knows its place. I think that that's important.
It's next to the palm juice, and palm juice is a very, that's very bougie.
It is that palm juice, though. I'll tell you the honest facts about it. I had a house sitter taking care of my dog about a year ago, and they bought that huge palm juice. And I haven't drank it because I feel like it's not mine. Is it even good anymore? And it's a huge bottle. And I don't know why I keep it in there if I'm not going to drink it. So you should probably chuck that. And then the Mother Puckers are delicious pickles I discovered recently. But that's an empty bottle of Mother's Puckers that I keep in the fridge because I thought maybe I would use the pickle juice as like a pickle back, or maybe a touch of that added into the martini olive juice into a dirty martini. And I didn't do it. So I ended up throwing that out.
Yeah. I have a jar of pickle juice in my fridge that I always say, if I make a sandwich, it'll be a fun little topping on the sandwich. And I will absolutely never do that.
Right. Right. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing.
It's so aspirational. The bottle of empty pickle juice.
Yeah, that's why we do it. And I'm glad you phrased it that way, because until you called it aspirational, it felt kind of homeless to me. And like, I really should not have it there. I'm embarrassed. Sometimes I even would keep a jar of pickled juice on the counter exposed out, because I figure it's fermented and it's not going bad. But then you really look like you don't have your stuff in order. And so I put it in the fridge and people don't question it as much. Like, you, even a food expert, didn't notice that there's no pickles in there.
But I will say, it's good to have in there, because when someone does ask you about it, you can say, oh, I'm one of those people. Because I want to be one of those people. I imagine like Martha Stewart does it. I imagine, Nigella Lawson. I imagine Ina Garten. They all have a jar of pickle juice that they use on, when you're making deviled eggs, you want to just add a little bit of pickle juice and it's going to really oomph it up. But I'm never going to do it. But I want to be the person who talks about it to people.
Yeah, same, but I think in a lot of this scenario, I don't know who the two of the names you said are, but Martha Stewart, I do imagine she would probably say, what you want to do is add some pickle juice to the sandwich. Go and buy a fresh jar of pickles, drain it immediately, and bring me pickle juice raw. I don't think she's saving it. She's like getting her pickle guy to take care of it.
I just want to say to my listeners, yes, Ben Glebe does not know who Nigella Lawson and Ina Garten are. And he's been getting a lot of hate on social media and being called a lot of really awful names. And I think that you guys should pile on to it, add on to it, get on there.
Food-based hate would be a nice, refreshing break from the kind of hate I've been getting. So I do appreciate any hate coming my way that is food-based. It would be a great palate cleanser, pun intended.
Yeah.
I hosted an event with Martha Stewart, by the way, and she was very nice, and she was like more chill and funnier than I expected. Like, I thought she'd be pretty prissy, and she was not. She was pretty chill.
Here's the thing. I feel like Martha Stewart's beginning part of her career was the serious, I'm starting an empire, King Joffrey, just everyone must listen or they will die. But then like after she went to jail and she came out, she seemed to like have a second act.
Yeah, I guess prison does kind of lighten you up as a person. And, what image are you maintaining after that? I suppose that's a good point. But also, I love that the only king you can come up with was King Joffrey from Coming to America. I love that's the king that you go to.
First of all, I was doing King Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Wasn't it also King Joffrey in Coming to America?
Is it? No, was it Jafar? No, Jafar is the Lion King. Or Aladdin?
I think it was Joffrey Jafar or something.
I don't know. And I think we're probably just on the borderline of sounding racist or something.
I'm worried about it already. More hate mail. There we go. Thanks for nothing.
Actually, I'm going to throw you some hate mail for a couple things you do on this level of your fridge, which is you have a lot of peanut butter in the fridge, which does not have to be in the fridge. You can actually leave that out of the fridge.
Wrong. So wrong. It must be in the fridge. Not that you have to. But if you want it to taste good, I'm a guy, I cannot handle peanut butter if it is in the least bit soft. I need it like almost like frozen. I can only buy the brands. I buy very organic peanut butter that has no sugar added. That's just peanuts and like oil or whatever. And I need it to be like, you take a spoon and it like barely moves. I want to like chunk into it like hard ice cream. And once it gets soft, and if you have it on countertop, you're talking you're in the soft game here. You're in a real soft, what are you, like in your 90s? Why do you want soft peanut butter?
Okay. I didn't know this was turning into a debate, but if you would like to enter the fucking lion's den.
I'm ready, King Joffrey. Bring it up. I'm Joffrey Jafar. I'm working at McDowell's. Let's go.
Be my guest. Okay, so you're telling me you get the organic stuff, which I get as well, which doesn't have any stabilizer or anything. So when you put that shit in the fridge, it literally turns into a hockey puck. If you want to spread that on any bread or a cracker, it will break anything in its way. It's going to be like that ball in Indiana Jones, the rock that is rolling down. It will just destroy anything that comes in front of it. Your bread is going to be turn into croutons. You can't do anything with that. What are you just gonna? You're gonna eat it yourself, and then it goes down like a solid piece, like you're a boa constrictor eating a mouse or something, like just swallowing it whole. No,
everything I like you, to everything you've said. No, go ahead. I mean, spin it to your part in the end, but there's so many insults there. I need to immediately respond to. But go ahead.
No. I will jump off before even hitting you with the climax. Okay, I'm gonna pull out. And I'm going to let you finish first.
Okay. I'm very uncomfortable with that analogy. I would like to first mention, you said like a hockey puck. I literally have a hockey puck right here. So you think I have any issue with that? I'll chomp right into this damn thing. It's softer than you'd expect. It's kind of got a rubbery consistency, number one. Number two, I don't spread the peanut butter on anything.
Oh, what was that cough? Do you have a ball of peanut butter in your esophagus? Is that what that cough was?
No, I just chewed on a rubber hockey puck. It kind of messed up my system a little bit. I think you were there for that, right? And so yes. I don't eat carbs. I don't own bread. I don't spread it on anything. I just have spoons. Sometimes I'm in a rush. I need a little bit of protein, a little bit of carbs. And so I'll go two or three spoons of this organic peanut butter, hard AF, and my mouth chews it and warms it a little bit in there. And so it doesn't go down hard like the boulder in Indiana Jones. It does get chewed, but I enjoy the experience of it. Like ice cream also, when you eat ice cream, it doesn't go down frozen like it was, but I like the initial flavors and feelings in my mouth to be really solid and together. And I think you know that. And if you want to apologize now before saying your climax, that'd be better.
First of all, ice cream is the worst example you could bring up to support your argument, because ice cream, as soon as it hits the heat, the body heat of the mouth, which is at 98.7 degrees, automatically it starts to melt and it starts to coat like a cashmere throw on your tongue. Not fucking peanut butter. Peanut butter hard, you're chewing into it like it's a piece of cement that's like almost fully solidified, and you're just like grinding at it to turn into salty bits that you can swallow. No, my friend, you are wrong on this one.
No, everything you said, it's like you're living in another reality. First of all, I like my ice cream so hard and so frozen that when I'm chewing it, even after several bites, it's still pretty frozen. It's just easier to swallow. It's not melted by any stretch. And that's why you got to get the right peanut butter. I used to go Maranatha Organic, which is there on the left. But for some reason, I can't get the actual peanut butter anymore. Now they only sell on Amazon peanut butter spread by Maranatha, and it's not as good. So I'm trying to find a replacement. Right now, Santa Cruz, or that one in the back, I can't remember the name of it. Santa Cruz one is Chunky. I've never done Chunky before. I recently did Chunky. I'm actually not against it so much. But the one behind it, I wish I knew the name, is actually better, and I'm enjoying it a lot, and it's pretty close to the Maranatha experience. And then I do share it with my dog, Henry. We share peanut butter together. It's a bonding experience.
Oh,
but it chews and melts just fine enough to swallow. It's not a difficult swallowing experience. I just like the consistency of it being more put together. I'm not trying to put creamy in my mouth unless that's like the real goal, you know?
I think this is an example of something that they like to call the narcissism of small differences. Okay? Let's pull out a little bit here. You and I, again, another pullout reference. If we pull back a little bit,
yep.
You and I are both 100% into all natural peanut butter. Automatically, that puts us in a one percentile. Everyone else wants the shit with the sweeteners and this, that. You and I are in the same place in there. I've debated that so many times. I've literally debated that on a food podcast that was about debating foods, about the all natural stuff versus the ones with the sugar and the added stuff. So I think let's put our differences of temperature aside. We are basically on the same team. I think you're just getting, you know, you've been doing a lot too much of this news coverage, and it's just turning your brain into just super combat mode.
And yeah, listen, I love this place of peace you've brought us to, and I am very good at debating, and I will just point out one of the ways I win debates is with moments like you're about to experience right now. I would like to point out that I simply expressed my feelings about the peanut butter, and then you said, you want to go debate? I want to bring the wrath down on you like the king in Game of Thrones. You ready for this? And you said a bunch of attacks. You came right at me real hard on that peanut butter. I was simply on my heels defending my choices, defending myself. And then when I did that, you realized my points were so good. You then said, can we just love each other, bro? I made it seem like I was the aggressor, which is really play, but hit that back 30 button a couple times, y'all. And you tell me who was the aggressor.
Well, whoever is going to hit that back 30, you are going to learn that Dan has the editing tools, and I will cut out the part where I said, let's debate this. And it's just going to start with you with a full throttle defense while I'm just like sitting here, poor little me.
Sure, absolutely. Dan does editing tricks. I'm going to slip that in a few more times just so people are aware of what you do.
Can I also get us out of this by giving you another huge compliment in your fridge?
Yeah,
I don't know if definitely. This is you. I don't know if this was a gift, but you have a bottle of one of the more interesting, one of my favorite Italian natural wines, which is Alessandro Viola. And a wonderful producer out of Italy making very interesting, cool natural wines. I'm not a big natural wine guy, but I do think that their stuff is actually really cool. Was that one of your purchases or was that a gift?
I like that you see something classy and delicate and rare in my fridge and you have to immediately for the first time question whether it was a gift. I've found Alessandro to be one of the most delicate. Fine, it was a gift. I'd never have tried it. I'm wondering if it's still in my fridge, and I will try it if I haven't regifted it already.
So it was a gift.
It was a gift, yeah.
So I was right to assume that you're not classy enough to have come up.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's not offensive. That doesn't mean it's not offensive just because you're correct.
Now this, I bet, is your own thing. This is an $8 bottle of Prosecco.
$16. It's $16. But yes, that was my own purchase. I was dating a girl that was her favorite Prosecco, and she liked me to have that in the fridge, and so I do what I can. Also, you're bypassing my oat milk, but are you an oat milk guy? That's by far my favorite alternate milk.
Oh, you know what? Guys, thank God we're living in a time of the world where we're making milk out of fucking oats, okay? You know what oats are? Oats are cardboard. Oats are negative liquid. And somehow we've decided that we need to make a milk out of this. Cure for cancer?
I'm sensing a no.
No. Solution to climate change? Not yet. Make milk out of oats? All hands on deck. It is a fucking Manhattan Project. There have been two Manhattan Projects. One to make the atomic bomb and one to create fucking Oatly. Christopher Nolan is making a movie out of it. Thank God that you are one of those wonderful people supporting Big Oat. Actually, I don't mind oat milk. I kind of like oat milk. I'm not against it. I don't own it.
After all that, you kind of like it. I also like to let your listeners know that you're sending yourself celebratory balloons during your speech about oat milk.
I wasn't doing anything. I don't know why that was happening. There were balloons coming up.
Wow. I guess just God agrees with you, God or whoever owns Zoom. And, yeah, I find oat milk to be creamy and much better in coffee. It's what I use it for. I just use it for my lattes that I just made. I'm currently drinking one right now. Are you an alternate milk guy or a regular milk guy?
No, I drink milk out of a cow's udder like God intended for a calf.
Okay, I only did that today from this latte because I ran out of milk, like I told you off air, and had to go into a Subway and buy a child-sized milk so I could make it in my frother. You also are skipping over my A1 sauce, so I just need to go on the record on this podcast and say it's the greatest sauce to ever be invented. It's amazing on steak, and you're also skipping over my Swiss cheese, which I just have to. I have a couple other cheeses there, but no cheese on earth will ever compare to Swiss. It's incredible. It's the best cheese.
Bold statement. Two very bold statements.
Yeah.
Do you know what the secret sauce is in A1? What is the secret ingredient that makes it so delicious?
I don't know.
Anchovies.
Is that true?
Yeah. A1 is an anchovy-based sauce whose precursors go back to England, and the precursor from that one goes back to ancient Rome, which they had like a anchovy fish sauce called garum, and then the precursor of that goes to like Asian fish sauces. Like fish sauce is this very interesting thing that has kind of made its way into so many different cultures, and the American version of that is A1 Worcestershire sauce.
Wow, Worcester. You know, I've had to deal with a lot of slings and arrows during this podcast so far today, but I feel like I've learned a fun fact that is so helpful that I forgive you for all of the past. I never would have thought that there's fish in a steak sauce, and I can see it. I can picture it. I can taste it. I like A1 maybe a little bit less now, but I will never abandon it. I go to fancy steakhouses and I'm like, can I get some A1? And they're offended and I don't care. And they usually don't have it. And they have like a JR sauce, like fake A1. It's bullshit. Oh, you want to try our C2 sauce? Dude, just buy the A1. Have it in the back for people like me.
Yeah. No, I'm not an A1 hater. I like A1. I do think that you shouldn't shy away from the fact that there's anchovies in it. And anchovy is not like any other fish. Because when anchovy melts into a sauce, it doesn't quite taste fishy. It just tastes like umami-ish. So like, you know, think about like a Caesar salad dressing. Delicious. And anchovies are what makes that. Or like a lot of the base of like red pasta sauce, a lot of anchovies in the base of that. It gives it an amazing umami that is not too fishy. So even if you're not a fish person, you'd be into anchovies.
Okay. You also said umami, kind of weird. I got to be honest with you. And then also, are you a great cook, Dan? You must be a great cook the way you know about what comes in the sauces.
Umami.
God. I knew I shouldn't have said that because I knew you were going to do that.
It's my food porn network. Umami. Oh my God. Yeah, I love cooking. I cook a lot. I do cook a lot.
Never cooked for me, Dan.
A lot of Italians are going to take umbrage with your claim. A lot of people are holding up their big block of Parmesan cheese right now, and they're saying this is the ultimate cheese. Swiss cheese.
I could do without Parmesan cheese entirely, to be honest with you.
Really?
I mean, I like it okay if it's like actually like in a block and you can have bites of it. I don't love it shredded. I will do it on pasta occasionally if I'm desperate. Definitely hate it very much when it's like in the powder form and then you shake it out of that cheap Parmesan situation. That's just, oh.
Interesting, because a lot of people don't like having like a bite of Parmesan cheese because it's super salty and you know, it can be a little dry and astringent to some people. But that's interesting that you'd vie for that before having the shaved, because to me, shaving it on anything is just delicious.
Yeah, I've heard that about you. This is the part of the podcast where you admit that Swiss cheese is the best flavor, or when does that happen?
I'm going to say Swiss cheese for simple palates. Yes, I could see if you had a simple, childish palate. Yeah, Swiss cheese is a fucking great cheese. It's a great...
I've liked it since childhood, simple. I will admit that, but always loved it since... But it just doesn't compare. Look, I appreciate every cheese. I want you to know I have a sophisticated palate, but it just doesn't satisfy me the way Swiss cheese does. And if that makes me unsophisticated, then my God, I'm the kid from Flowers for Algernon. You know what I mean?
No, I'm okay with that. I'm not gonna hate you for that. I'm telling you, there's two reasons why I barb. One is you're a comedian, and I do that with comedians on this show. But two is almost out of jealousy. Like, this is one of the better single dude fridges. It's way better than my single dude fridge.
Thank you. Wow.
So this is all just to make me feel better. I'm bringing you down.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better. As long as I know that it's because I am better than you in some way, I'm totally cool with it. Keep them arrows coming, baby.
Okay, I will. Oh, you got fucking Ben and Jerry's doggy fucking ice cream, you fucking loser.
I do have the love of a great dog. I'm so sorry.
I didn't know Ben and Jerry's makes dog ice cream.
Yeah, well, now you know. I mean, now you do know, actually. You do know because you're looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, the freezer's solid, very good. A lot of good smoothie stuff, I'm assuming.
Yep. No, I've not been making them yet, but I'm trying to get into making them. I've made one so far, very successful. I'd like to dive back in. Instead, what I just did was last night, open that frozen mangoes and frozen strawberries and just ate cup after cup of it. And I told myself I would just have one cup, and then I went back and back. The strawberries were not as good as the mangoes, so I ended up going all mango in my subsequent rounds. But, you know, you do what you have to do.
So you just ate frozen fruit?
Straight up, yeah.
You just ate frozen fruit.
I mean, if that throws you off, this next thing is going to really throw you off, but I'll tell you my family secret. I don't know if it's on a top shelf. You might have just skimmed over because an unfettered eye, you see right there and above that is frozen peas. You see that bag is like half open. You know why? You know what I was taught as a child to do? And I do it everywhere. I even brought a freezer into my Burning Man shift pod tent with me and had frozen peas with me. I pour a cup of frozen peas and drink/eat it like ice cream. It's like... It's like bonbons or Dippin' Dots. It's a healthy, relatively low calorie, sweet treat. And it's incredible. Share that with my dog, Henry Horse, as well. Tell me you've done it. If not, will you try it? Do you understand how it could be amazing? It is. I can drink a whole cup and then go back for another cup.
So like the green bean, just popping it frozen?
No, not beans. Peas. Sweet green peas.
Oh, green peas. I mean, I'm not mad at that. I've never done it.
You have to.
I could see that being good.
You could do a whole mug and just straight up drink it and be like, and it goes like, and they just like pour into your mouth like little balls of heaven.
I promise you, I will try that. I'm not mad at that idea.
Thank you. It's really nice. It's a nice dessert that kind of gets you by. Some people join Greenpeace and some people drink green peas.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, again, great fridge. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to get a good score. Wait, how long have we been recording for? We've been on for about more than a half hour. You know, normally people's fridges take about 10 minutes.
Really?
And we took 34 minutes in the fridge.
Wow.
Is a testament to your wonderful fridge.
It was a testament to our riffing ability and the fact that we had to have a couple of drag out fights to just kind of get to the bottom of some peanut butter based issues.
That's true. You know, it's funny. I always say comedians' fridges are hard to read because a lot of comedians have very full fridges, meaning that they're doing really well. A lot of comedians have very empty fridges, meaning that they're doing very well and they're on the road all the time. So they never have food in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one are you, Ben Gleib?
Well, my fridge was full. So I'm not on the road a lot anymore. I was touring for 15 straight years and I've taken the last couple of years off the road almost completely. Very rare. Maybe I'll go do a corporate or a weekend if it falls in my lap. But I've been LA-based for the first time in forever. For the last couple of years, and I enjoy it. I'm doing a lot of virtual shows with my virtual club, Nowhere Comedy. I've been doing gigs around LA and just kind of trying a different tact in life, you know?
I, like you, used to tour like insanity as well, but I was doing colleges. But I think it's good to do it that way because then staying in one place really feels like you're on vacation.
100%. Yeah. I really like being home more. I started doing that because my girlfriend at the time, she was quite frustrated how much I would be gone. And then the pandemic hit, and then she ended up not really liking me being home that much, and we broke up, and I decided I like being home. So it was kind of a nice progression.
Yeah. If you're listening to this ex-girlfriend, I just want you to know you're missing out. He has a wonderful fridge. It's a comfortable home to be in.
I mean, it's crazy you said that, because not to dive too deep into this, but that fridge specifically is a big part of why we broke up.
What? Oh my God. This is the podcast for you. You have to tell us.
I mean, we just had like a terrible fight. Our worst fight ever was over that fridge. And so I had a different fridge. This is my home. I bought it a long time ago. And then she moved in and we were living together for like 3 years. We were actually engaged at the time. We are no longer engaged or speaking to each other. The fridge ruined it all. So I really shared a lot of trauma with you that you uncovered, because you're just kind of intuitive like that, Dan. You kind of got right to my bottom. I didn't mean that to be an innuendo at all.
A lot of people said that I'm the fridgy Oprah.
That's correct. Yeah. And you get right to their bottoms.
Yes.
So I had a fridge that stopped working. And at the time, however, you have to understand some key facts. I would love to hear your ruling once you hear all the facts, Dan. So in my office, just to the side here, I have a second fridge. I have a little fridge right here. I got a mini fridge, but it's not even a tiny mini fridge. See the red one in the corner?
Yes, it's like one of those retro little mini fridges. Cute.
Yes, exactly. But it's pretty big. I mean, you can hold a fair amount in that. And at the time, we were on a meal delivery plan trying to lose weight. So we literally were not cooking and literally did not need to keep anything in the fridge except these pre-made meals. And all of our pre-made meals, barely, but they would fit in this mini fridge from each week's delivery. So there was currently no rush for us to get the fridge fixed, because we literally would be tempting and bad for us to have other food in the fridge. And so the fridge was broken, but you know, I guess she occasionally wanted like to make little extra things or whatever. And she wanted me to get a new fridge immediately, but I have house insurance that would cover like the appliances in my house. And I was trying to get the company that's real nightmare company, First American. They dropped me because of all of this. And it took like a month. It was like fighting every day with these people. Maybe not a month, but like 2-3 weeks, many calls, like probably like 7, 8, 9, like screaming, cussing calls, like horrible customer service. Transfer me, sir. We can't. We're transferring you to another department that can maybe approve a thing. And she was like, just let's buy a fridge already. I'm like, they're covering it. We don't need it. I'm doing it this way. And I'd finally made a breakthrough. I had like an hour long fight with these people on the phone. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're about to approve the money. The next morning, she tells me in the car, she's like, I'll tell you something. I bought a fridge. I went to Costco. I bought a new fridge. And you can pay me for half of it if you want or whatever. But like, I just needed to solve this already. And I was like, hell no. I just fought. You're like under. You didn't tell me if you want. If you were at a breaking point, I would have totally listened and been open to it. If you said to me, I want to get the fridge resolved. I'm at a breaking point. Please, are you cool with that? But to go and buy an appliance, I didn't look at it. I didn't approve the vibe of it. I'm a little particular about details like that. I don't know what fridge you're buying. You're just going and buying some fridge that's going to live in the kitchen forever. And I did maybe demand that she return the fridge. She'd already also then called my insurance company and got the new fridge covered. And I'm like, please call them. Tell them you did not buy the fridge. We're returning it. And return the fridge. I will not accept this fridge. And so she did, but she was very, very mad about it. And I did then get them to issue a check to pay for most of the new fridge, got a new fridge. We did it in a rush because I didn't want to make an extra big deal and got a fridge that's too big, which is why it's so filled. And I think she never recovered. We never recovered as a couple from this fridge fiasco. I felt like I needed to be part of the decision of what fridge replaces that fridge. We could have talked it out.
Right.
You went made the executive decision, and I'm no longer engaged, and I'm on the market. Lady slide into the DMs. The DMs are open. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think your DMs are going to be pretty empty after that story, Ben. If Ben's ex is listening, I just want to say you're in a better place. You're in a better place.
Oh, well, you son of a bitch.
First of all, you know what's really funny? As someone who was also engaged and is now disengaged, I feel like whenever we tell our side of the story of something, of the thing that like ruined the relationship, you know, there's that expression, there's your way, there's her way, and then there's the truth. And in the way that we tell it is usually in a way that it's almost impossible for people to not be on our side. The way you told that, I think everyone is screaming in their cars listening to this episode.
It didn't sound great coming out as I told it either.
I mean, oh my God. I get it. I get it. But no, I think that's on you, man. I mean, you know, but this is later in life, Dan, saying this, because I am also very, very stubborn about getting justice when it comes to, you know, let's say getting money from an insurance company, getting exactly the right thing, which I need to do research for and this and that. Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, now I'm at a place where if something's going to cost a couple $1,000s and get rid of a huge problem, I think it's just worth doing it and not.
But you're not taking into account two things.
Wait, hold on. What I'm saying is, ladies, a couple $1,000s is nothing for me. I'm also single and my DMs are also open.
Then I have a feeling that after so overtly trying to turn my pain into a chance for you to get laid, your DMs are going to be very empty. Mine's at Ben Glebe on Instagram. And if you're looking for a man who's grown from his fridge things, but also doesn't flaunt his money around like that, but does have a lot now because we're not stuck in that pandemic time when money was tight, hit up at Ben Glebe on the DMs.
Ladies, he's got so much money, he can buy a fridge that is too big for his kitchen. That's the kind of money we're talking about, okay?
That's
if you want a man who spends his money like that, then yeah, please, by all means.
Ladies, if you want a man who can afford a guitar so fancy it floats in the air, you go to Dan Adut.
There's no video for this, unfortunately, but I do have a guitar that's attached to the wall that you can see.
Oh, it's on the wall. Okay, well, that's less impressive. Ladies, my DMs are open.
Hold on. It's at Ben Glebe, BENGLIEB.
No, EIB, you son of a bitch. EIB. My biggest pet peeve in the world, even though, ladies, if you make that mistake, I'm super chill about it. And I want you to know that I'm so relaxed. But I feel like you're undervaluing the fact that we were on the meal program, Dan, and we had a mini fridge that was holding our food needs. Are you not? Because then it just seemed like she was undermining me for no reason. Like she literally just made a decision without consulting her partner. Like, you don't undermine either way. You don't undermine your partner's agency in, like, you're going to be stuck with that fridge for 10 years. Like, why would we not discuss it? Why would we not agree together?
I'll tell you what, I honestly think, and this is I'm putting my serious hat on now. I think that for her, she was seeing this thing, this fridge thing, completely overtake her fiance's life. She thought saw it seeping into every part of her life. Comics, we're crazy, dude. We're obsessive people. I totally see where you're coming from, and I'm like that too. And I think that for normal people, they see that for civilians, and they're like, wait, why? This is such undue stress. Why? I can take care of this. But for us, we see that as a slight, and we see it as undercutting, like you said. So I understand that. But for her, it was probably just like, it was becoming what the relationship was about, and she didn't want that anymore. She wanted the relationship to be about her and about both of you, not about the fridge.
That part. I do agree with that, but still, shouldn't the next step have been her talking to me and saying, I feel like the fridge is becoming our relationship. It's becoming too big of a problem. I would really like to address it now and solve it. Are you cool with me going to Costco tomorrow and buying one? You can come or not or whatever. I'll pay for it or not.
Probably, yes. You're right, but let me ask you this, and I need, as a truth serum in your veins, I need you to put yourself back in that era. I need you to put yourself back in that time, the rage that you were feeling, the way that you were like, I need to do this. This, nothing can get in my way. And this girl comes up to you and nicely says, this can't go on anymore. I'm going to Costco tomorrow. You can be a part of this or not. We're getting a new fridge. You would not have flipped your fucking shit. And said, no, I'm almost there. We're at the 1 yard line.
Listen, if you're going to make good points, I will walk off this podcast. No, I will honestly answer that. My response, I think it was at close. It was horrible for both of us. And I knew it was creating a lot of strain. Yeah. My answer, though, would have been, I understand what you're saying. I respect it. We are on the 1 yard line. Can we please wait just 24 more hours? Because I really think they're about to issue the check. If they don't, by the end of tomorrow, I will go with you to Costco and we'll get a fridge. That's what I think we would have said. Yeah. And it would have been resolved. I think so. I would have asked for that one more day for sure, because we were very close.
That would have been
good.
We
did get that check. But
man, I wish I had an insurance company sponsor right now. This would have been the best ad of like, this is why you need to go to Geico. What if your girl left you for the insurance company? Have you thought that? Maybe that's what happened. Because the insurance company broke up with you. She broke up with you. I don't know. They're probably in Tiwatanejo on the beach.
I'm actually going there in 2 weeks, so I will look. But I will say this. I'm a different person now, a couple years later. I am a calmer man. I'm more rational. I definitely see that I think there's plenty of things she did wrong. There's definitely plenty of things I did wrong. Plus, recounting the story right now also makes me re-realize it and your, you know, perspective of it. I would not, in my more evolved way that you said you are now too, I would not have made such a thing about the fridge, but I was just in it. You know, I was in it.
This started off as a fridge podcast, and I never thought that it would turn into fridge therapy like it did today. Mm-hmm. But we should start this. You know how like back in the day when like sitcoms would have like a serious one, on a very special Different Strokes.
Yep, that was a creepy one too.
This is a very special Green Eggs and Dan. Okay, Johnny Morgan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Okay, you are my only British friend that I have.
Okay.
And my question to you is, how do you pronounce the word H-I-B-I-S-C-U-S?
Hibiscus.
You don't say hibiscus?
No, hibiscus.
Who says hibiscus?
I don't know. I don't know. Hibiscus? I would say Americans are saying hibiscus.
Oh my God, I got this all turned around. I thought Brits say hibiscus and Americans say hibiscus.
Maybe. I'm saying hibiscus. Maybe, I don't know, hold on, hibiscus.
Can you conference in a British friend who's very British and we do this again? Because you've been in America too long.
It's 2 a.m. in England, so or whatever, they're going to be upset.
Do you have an English friend in America that we can call?
No. Go, surely we can Google YouTube.
Hold on. I'm going to call my friend who's from Australia. That might be close enough.
Yes, because they're awake.
Okay, hold on.
Hey, Dan.
I've got Charles and I have Johnny. Two people. One is from Britain and one is from Australia.
That's the one?
Yeah. Charles.
I feel like this is a trap.
It's not a trap. The question is, how do you pronounce the word H-I-B-I-S-C-U-S?
Hibiscus.
You say hibiscus. Does no one say hibiscus?
No, only idiots
do. Oh.
Who says hibiscus?
Only idiots. My guest Ben Glebe, who's American, was fucking saying hibiscus like he was the queen, and even the queen didn't say hibiscus.
No, it's definitely hibiscus. I'm right. Definitely. Okay. Hibiscus. We'll say biscuits. Getting high and biscuit.
That's funny. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. You can go back to the Commonwealth, and I appreciate you both.
See you later.
All right. Bye. All right. Hibiscus it is.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Okay, let's get to some fun questions that will bring it back up out of this pit of despair that we found ourselves in. Starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
Wow. Just how much I loved Gerber baby hot dogs. And there are these little mini like cocktail wiener size hot dogs that come in a can. So much so that up until about 3 years ago, I was still buying them occasionally. And about once a year, I'd eat Gerber baby hot dogs.
No way. I never knew Gerber made hot dogs.
Yeah, there's little like white kind of slimy living in water in a little can. And about 3 years ago, I stopped because they started to make me feel a little ill. I think once you hit 40, you can't keep eating baby food. Through your late 30s, it's fine.
You're telling me that mini white sausages that come in some sort of a chloroform jar are not good for you? Huh, I would have never thought that.
Yeah, I know it's shocking, but if you think about it, it's true.
What is your death row meal? Let's think of a reason that you are on death row. Okay. Let's say the day after your fiance and you guys break up, you get a call from First American. And they're like, oh, Mr. Glebe, yeah, we messed up. Actually, you had the type of policy. We should have given you that new fridge the day that you called us. We thought you had a different policy. It's our bad. And you were like, our bad. And you get in your car, you go to the offices, and you just fucking Columbine that place.
I'm so glad that we brought it back up.
You're on death row. What is your death row meal?
My death row meal, an enormous steak. I'd like two kinds of steak. I would like a New York steak, maybe, and a prime rib. I want that prime rib dipped in lots of horseradish, both the horseradish and the horseradish sauce. I want the New York steak dipped in A1 sauce freely. I would like about six or seven ice cream flavors, like some Baskin Robbins mint and chip. I'd like chocolate chip from Thrifty. It could be coconut pineapple from Thrifty. I also would like banana ice cream from any of the best, most organic banana place you can find, or worst case, Cold Stone, if they can't hook it up, even though the state's about to kill me and they really should look harder.
Yeah.
I would like a couple of eggs. I would like a delicious salad, like very fresh salad. And I would like maybe an In-N-Out burger, but like hot, like a chef making it, like a cook making it right there, because In-N-Out drops off fast. It's good live, but it drops off fast. And then maybe like a couple like chicken soft tacos from Taco Bell.
Whoa.
And then I would like sushi, lots of sashimi, just lots. I don't want the rice. I don't need the carbs. I don't need to put on any weight. But a lot of sashimi, a lot of salmon sashimi.
Okay. I'm not the warden at this prison, but it feels to me like you've lost the plot a little bit. Okay. I think you're just naming all your favorite foods from forever, like all the time. And that's not how it goes at this prison.
That is how it goes.
I let you get away with a New York strip steak and a ribeye. And I was like, okay, we'll let that slide. And then suddenly it went to five flavors of ice cream. And then we brought it back from five flavors of ice cream to salad. And then you just started naming foods. Like, are you just like Kaiser Soze-ing this? Like, is there like a list of foods on a wall that you're just like reading? You went to tacos?
No, this is what my meal would be. You don't think I'm going to eat all this? I'm going to eat all of it.
I feel like there's a supermarket across the street from you right now that you're just looking into with binoculars and just naming shit.
No, I might also It's not true. These are all like what I would legitimately order. I would also like a street hot dog with like those grilled onions, fresh made, like with one of those street hot dog carts right next to my cell. They could pass it through if they're not, they don't trust me to open the cell. But I really would like all of that. I mean, I actually have a stand a bit about this because people, this is not too elaborate of a meal. I mean, people on their last meals have this kind of crazy meal. Like they eat crazy. And my whole bit about it is that, they always print it in the paper and it's like a 9-course meal of all the things the person loves. It's crazy how big the meal is. And then my joke about it is that I just think it's hilarious that as the government is literally putting to death these like depraved psychopath, sociological mastermind, twisted individuals, as they're being put to death by the state, 100% of times they are sitting there about to be killed and their last thought on earth is, I really don't feel good. My stomach is, I overdid it. I did not need that second steak. It was probably too much. Diet starts tomorrow.
Oh, actually it is.
It might be the one time. It's a strong counterpoint.
Here comes the hangman. I guess it is. What is the best high-end meal that you've ever had?
Oof. Best high-end meal. I mean, I've had a lot of great ones, but one time I was very stoned in Rosarito, Mexico. My best friend and I were alone in this fancy restaurant. It just happened to be completely empty. There was like 5 tuxedoed servers that were just serving us. It was lobster. It was lobster bisque. It was all variations of lobster. An amazing table-made Caesar salad. It was an incredible meal. But I will say, it might have even been a prime rib involved in that meal, I think. Being stoned really helped. But also, just a couple weeks ago, I was in the old city of Akko in Israel. It's this amazing city that where Muslims and Jews live together and coexist, you know, very peaceably and all together. And it's like a great model for, I think, for the world. And I went to this famous restaurant called Uri Buri's Fish House or whatever. Uri Buri's is like a legend, this long bearded guy. And he made us directly the world's best little shot glass full of truffle mushroom soup. And the best salmon sashimi dish I ever had in my life. It was salmon sashimi with wasabi gelato on top of it. And every bite, the wasabi would melt. The gelato would melt wasabi flavor into your mouth with the salmon. And it was just bonkers good.
I've heard of this guy. I'm actually looking at the pictures of him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy. I think I've seen him on some food show. But yeah, that's a very, very famous joint that he's got.
Yeah, it was very good. It was not overrated whatsoever.
What is the best low-end meal you've ever had? This can be a street taco, a hot dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just drunken nights, late night, like stumbling into a Taco Bell and ordering way too many things, or it probably is street hot dogs. I often will have two. If I'm like, it's the right night, I'll have two back-to-back. You got the extra mustard on it, all the cebollas. And I like two of them, bacon wrapped. I mean, I don't actually need it bacon wrapped. I go one bacon wrap, one not.
The next question is, what's your favorite drunk food? Which I think we answered it.
We did answer that. I think we answered that.
Favorite hangover cure?
I like to go and get, I think the best is like fried chicken and waffles with Bloody Marys.
Whoa. You know, it's funny. I can't get down with the fried chicken and waffles. For some reason, the sweetness and the chicken, I'm not into it. Like
I don't go same bite. I don't go same bite, but I like that you get both. And I go waffle bites, and then I go chicken bites. Anything to kind of soak it up, but you also need the lipids from that chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you need those chicken lipids, dog.
Also, side note, important to know, best coleslaw in the world is KFC coleslaw.
Whoa. I don't know that I feel like arguing that because I don't really have any other counters to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I must try it then. All right, I'll give it to you.
Oh, it's like chopped and crunchy and
I rarely get KFC, but whenever I get it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the best bite of food that is like in that's humanly possible.
Yeah, and then an hour later, you feel horrible and you regret every decision you've made.
Doesn't matter. That's why it's a good death row meal. There ain't no hour later.
True that.
What's your favorite dessert? This is a new question that we're workshopping, by the way.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm your test case here.
Can I tell you, this is the second time we're doing it. And the first one was in Erin Darling's episode. And she said Twizzlers, to which point I was like, oh, maybe this question is not going to work because people don't know how to answer. What's my favorite dessert? Twizzlers?
No, that's a terrible answer. My favorite dessert, banana flambé or cherries jubilee. I like when they set it on fire.
Whoa, I'm sorry. That's not where I thought we were going. You just took a trip to the 80s, and I'm here for it. Yeah. Hot tub time machine. Yeah. Let's go.
And then also at the Harrah's, Harvey's steakhouse that I think is now closed, they also would make this like tableside coffee dessert with like ice cream on the coffee, and they would like set it on fire and like put like gold shards on it and like sprint the coffee down the side of the ice cream. That's pretty good too. I like a flaming dessert.
Yeah, you like a show. You like a show with your dessert. I'm into that. Yeah, you like a little flair. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but also Twizzlers, you know, delicious.
Twizzlers. Who the fuck says Twizzlers to what's your favorite dessert? Twizzlers?
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
Again, if your answer was something bonkers like that, I'd be like, okay, I have to just take this question off. For some reason, people's brains don't work when you ask them, what's your favorite dessert?
Dude, I dated Erin Darling for a minute. We dated for a second, and...
Wait, is this true?
This is true. This is why it ended. It was, we just couldn't get on the same page as far as desserts. For like a quick minute, like she's a lovely human, we're still friends, but you know, we weren't long for the game relationship wise.
Let me tell you something. I might have, you know, empathized a little more with your ex and the fridge story, but with this one, no, man, you were right. How can you be with a woman whose favorite dessert is fucking Twizzlers?
Thank you.
Just kidding. Erin, you're like a really nice person. I just met her recently. She's very sweet. She's very sweet.
You're really great, Erin. And congrats on your marriage. I know you just got married. It's really exciting.
Really exciting.
Could have been me if you had better taste in dessert, but it's fine.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
Martha Stewart.
That's a good one. Not many people say Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I think she's my favorite. I also do. I do like Gordon Ramsay.
Martha Stewart and Gordon Ramsay, two sides of a very different coin.
Yeah.
Actually, no similar coin. Because you know what's funny? I think that they're like a little bit polar opposites. I think Gordon Ramsay in real life is really, really nice. And then his persona is just a mean asshole. I think Martha Stewart in real life is like a real ball buster. And the only reason I say that is like it's impossible to have an empire like that and not kind of be a little bit of a ball buster. But then her persona on TV is like, I'm kind of the every woman. Who lives in, you know, Greenwich, Connecticut or whatever.
Yeah, when I worked with her, she was nice, but she was a little, I could see the ball buster tendencies for sure. She like did kind of come at me on a thing or two. One of them even somewhat publicly, like I started singing the national anthem to her. It was a Super Bowl event we hosted together. I started singing. I was singing it badly on purpose, but she thought I was like, nah, that's the best I could sing. And she, like, in front of everybody was like, ooh, like, what is this? Made a face. And then, like, the gag was that a whole, like, marching band, or, like, a whole choir, rather, came out and sang it with us. And she was quite pleased with that moment and understood what was happening. But she was not afraid to, like, throw me under the bus singing-wise.
A little bit of King Joffrey from Coming to America.
No, it's from Game of Thrones.
Right. All right, desert island food. You're trapped on a desert island. One food you're going to eat for the rest of your life. You will never, ever get tired of it. What is it?
Sushi.
That's a good one.
What's yours?
Any specific? Mine is pizza.
Very basic of you. I would go salmon. Wow. Salmon sushi. I would say salmon sashimi, but I figure for a desert island, I might want some carbs in there. So I would go salmon sushi. Truffle salmon nigiri, yes.
Wow. Ooh, the island suddenly got a little bit more bougie. Suddenly we're on St. Bart's, apparently.
You're damn right. Me and Martha Stewart are shipwrecked together, making love to each other, drinking sushi off of each other's bodies.
Drinking sushi. We have two more questions. Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
A food that I can't stand eating that I do still eat, or do I avoid it now?
You avoid it.
I think like chicken liver, like liver I don't like much. I mean, I sometimes like the taste is so weird that I occasionally like to indulge like a bite or two and kind of suffer through it, but I don't like it.
And then what is the weird food that you still do eat that you can't stand eating? Because you did ask that I'm still eating or that I don't eat.
Like I don't like sprouts, but I eat them a lot. I don't like bread, but I do it. You know, I do it sometimes.
You like bread. You just don't like, you feel guilty eating bread.
Well, like I don't like wheat bread particularly, yet I choose it because I think the others are so unhealthy. So whenever I eat bread, it's just generally wheat bread. And then I like don't enjoy it. So I may as well have better bread. I'd much rather have a challah bread or just even white bread, but I don't.
Well, hold on. Fucking A. I don't want to go on another tangent, but why? What about like a good like piece of sourdough bread? Like a tartine? Like a nice, good, bougie piece of bread?
I like a piece of sourdough bread. If it's warm and I got some butter on it, maybe a little bit of sea salt. Sure, then I like it a lot.
This is the first time in history someone like doesn't like bread, but they're like forcing themselves to eat it like it's spinach.
I also do like bread a lot when it's dipped in balsamic vinegar. I will grant you that.
Bread is the most, it's like the most fundamental food that we have. It's so delicious.
Reading is fundamental. Bread, I feel like, is more like you don't need it. I've lost weight by not eating carbs, but I'd probably rather keep bread and lose pasta, but I'd rather keep pasta and lose rice.
Keep pasta, lose rice. Okay. But bread is number one?
I like bread the most out of those three, except I do like a spaghetti bolognese. I think I need to reevaluate my opinions on this. We should move on.
Yeah, really. Last question, my favorite question, and I feel like you're going to come in hot on this. What is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
Oh, boy. I do not like when you ask for lemon wedges or lemon slices and they just intentionally ignore it and never bring it. And you have to ask four times. I feel like it's their little rebellions for not really loving their job as a server and like thinking it's superfluous to ask. So it's one thing that they can like avoid bringing. That's frustrating to me.
Wow. Hyper specific.
Yeah, there's that. I don't like the social pressure to put the cloth napkin on your lap. I usually don't do it. I just don't spill. I'll sit close to the table if I have to, but it's just I'm a guy and my legs spread open and then it always falls on the ground. I'm just picking up a napkin from the ground all meal long. I realize you could probably tuck it or something. I've never tucked it. I probably should learn a move how to tuck it so it doesn't fall, but it just keeps falling.
So where do you put the napkin? Where's the napkin?
I keep it on the table and I'll use it to like, you know, clean up my hands occasionally or my mouth.
So you just leave it tableside.
Leave it tableside, yeah.
Can I give you a suggestion?
Please.
I want to change your life. I want to not make you look like an uncultured brute at dinner.
Thank you.
What you should do, take the napkin, which is a square, okay? Instead of putting it, like this is the square, then there's the two top sides, two bottom sides. Instead of taking the two top sides and then putting it on your lap like that, go for the corners, diagonal, and then cross it at the hypotenuse, if you will. That way you have a much longer thing, and then it's like a triangle, right? So you have a long base here, triangles in. This way it's longer, you can put it on your legs, and it won't fall in between the cracks because it goes a lot longer on the legs. That's actually how I do my napkins.
I do go triangle. It still falls.
Could you not have stopped me while I was like dying to like...
No, you were like...
To try to explain
you were like
that?
Making Fibonacci's circle. Like that was like... You were getting hypotenuse. You could have just said turn into a triangle. Like it could have been two words. You were like... So elaborately explaining how to turn a square into a triangle. We all know how to turn a square into a triangle. You just fold it diagonally. My God. I was enjoying seeing you paint that beautiful picture that I knew did not work. Does your napkin never fall on the ground?
No, not really.
Wow. Do you tuck it? Do you tuck it inside your belt or something or in your pants?
No. No, but I'm not sitting like I'm at a fucking rodeo with my legs like, at 180 degrees with my dick just spilling out. I sit like I'm sitting at a piano almost. Like
it's your decision. That's your decision. I mean, so I feel like it's when you sit at pianos, you're also hitting those like foot pedals. And it would really make a napkin fall. So I feel like it's a false analogy. I sit when at a restaurant, I'm paying for a fancy meal. I'm like King Jaffe Jafar out there. I want them to come bring me like a lion over my shoulder that I am eating the body of during the meal. I want to really go all out.
I hope that this spurns you and I to write some sort of animated series called King Jaffe Jafar, the fake king, who's both from Game of Thrones, Aladdin Land, and also Queens, New York from Coming to America.
I think it should be called Coming to the Thrones.
Coming to the Thrones via Riyadh because of the Aladdin part.
The Aladdin part that you just added, but I do know why you're adding it. I get it. And then I think the tag, like the famous lines from the movie should be, the famous line should be, winter is coming. Yes! Fuck you too! Don't look now, it gets better. I mean, it's just kind of all those lines back to back.
Oh, Ben Glebe. So much fun, as I knew this would be. Ben Glebe, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me peering into my fridge looking for the answers. You can also follow... You can follow me on Instagram at Ben Glebe, or same on X and all the things. My website, benglebe.com. You can subscribe to my podcast, Last Week on Earth, where I kind of summarize the world and or just rant on whatever's on my mind, sometimes with guests, usually not. And yeah, occasionally anchoring the news on the Young Turks. And watch my special, The Mad King, on YouTube, or my special, Neurotic Gangster, on Amazon Prime. Links to all of that is in my Instagram bio.
And again, just so that we're clear, it's G-L-E-I-B. Glebe.
You're damn right.
At Ben Glebe. G-L-E-I-B. Unless you're trying to get into those DMs, in which case it is G-L-I-I-E-I-B with an accent aigu on the end of it.
And every time you message Dan on Instagram, you better not say anything personal. It's always a bot or his assistant replying. So don't ask him out ever.